Brad Stevens speaks why teams in general are fragile and the Celtics have to walk a fine line. Plus, what are their needs exactly? And what's his message to the team about self-improvement? It's all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. This show is free and available for you everywhere podcasts exist. It's daily, Monday through Friday, and you can watch the show on YouTube if you are so inclined. I would love to have you watch the show on YouTube because it's just fun. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. And today we will hear directly from Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens spoke to the media on Tuesday, said a bunch. I wrote about a lot of it on Boston Sports Journal. You can go to Boston Sports Journal and see my piece there. Extensive. It deals with a lot of what he said. But I'm going to take three of the biggest points for this podcast to highlight. I will play you what Brad Stevens said so you can hear it, you can see it on YouTube, and I will react afterwards. Later on in the third segment, the message to the team and their own self-improvement. In the second segment, their specific needs. But I want to start right now with the fragility. It's an interesting quote here. The fragility of teams in general and how that impacts how he's going to build the team.
I think that we have a little bit of a, you know, we have to walk a fine line a little bit. I think teams are fragile. I think the way that teams work together and operate together are fragile. And I think your identity as a team, when you find one that's successful, which we did this year on the defensive end of the floor, and when we were at our best sharing the ball offensively, those things are fragile. And so just to add doesn't mean that you're not taking something away from the group. And to change significant pieces in the group doesn't mean that that might not totally take your identity and shift it in a direction that's not as successful. And so it's quite a fine line.
This, I think, is – I picked this for the first one because I wanted to highlight the message of you don't want to take away your team's identity. So a lot of people are going to say, hey, trade this guy, trade that guy, move this guy. People are pissed off about how the finals ended and they want to see some wholesale changes. That is not going to happen. I think this quote is very indicative of what won't happen with the Celtics. And that is taking away big pieces of the team's identity and replacing them. Keith Smith on yesterday's podcast brought up the great example of the New York Knicks, who were the fourth seed a year ago, and they built that on defense, and they got rid of some of that defense, brought in offense, changed the identity of that team, and they fell off. The Celtics are not going to do that thing. This message where he says flat out to change significant pieces in the group doesn't mean that that might not totally take your identity and shift it in a direction that's not successful. And so it's quite a fine line. You don't want to change significant pieces of this roster. This team is built, I think, mostly the way Ime Udoka wants it. Just now they need to add offensive players. I think they need to build around the periphery of this team to enhance the guys that they have, the main guys that they have. So this message, and I like the way he said, I think teams are fragile. I think the way teams work together and operate together is fragile. That's an important message, especially in the NBA. And to me, that is tinged with the Dennis Schroeder signing. Like I think when you look at the Schroeder signing, that is this quote kind of encapsulated, because it seemed like a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Schroeder was out there. He's a good basketball player. You give him the taxpayer mid-level. You get him on a discount. You let him play and work through his value. You've got a good player. You had a good player for like almost nothing. And you almost don't worry about the fit necessarily, because you say, okay, that doesn't matter that he doesn't fit exactly. We can figure it out. We can, you know, we'll make it work. And what ends up happening is it's not what the Celtics needed. It ended up really, really hurting the Celtics. And I don't think it's a coincidence that minimizing him and ultimately trading him was part of the Celtics turnaround. That was a big reason why the Celtics turned their season around. And it sounds like, you know, well, we're going to blame Schroeder. It's not necessarily even blaming Schroeder. It's that he is who he is. And it just, the fit was so bad that it took away from the team. That's the fragility that Brad is talking about. That's the way teams operate, especially in the NBA, where you're constantly adding and taking away. This isn't like college where, yeah, you get freshmen that come in and seniors graduate, but there's carryover. You have some of that continuity. The NBA, this Celtics team is going to be different next year. There's just no getting around that. It's going to have new players. There are going to be new guys. We just know no team runs it back exactly. And it's rare to even run it back, I think, to the level where the Celtics are going to run it back. But taking away a major piece of what the Celtics' identity is will hurt this team and set them back. And one of the things that Brad said, and he harped on this, was they want to get that fast start. They don't want to be in that same boat as this past season, start out 18 and 21 and have to work your butts off to get to, you know, a high seed. That takes a lot out of you. He wants to hit the ground running. So that chemistry, that accentuating what they have and not messing with the team's identity is a priority. That's going to be a high priority. So whatever you're dreaming up, whatever you're thinking for this team, whatever you're conceptualizing, make sure that this is at the heart of it. You're not taking away from the team's identity. It says when you find one that's successful, which we did this year on the defensive end of the floor, and when we were at our best sharing the ball offensively, that's what he's looking for. That's what he wants. Specifically, how will he do it? We're going to find out when I come back. First, let me tell you about BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can bet on things like who's going to be the number one overall pick. There's some clarity on that this time around. We got a little bit of clarity from ESPN tonight, and I talk about that on the Locked On NBA show. By the way, go check out Locked On NBA, which I hosted with Tony East. Make sure you're checking that out. But you can go to BetOnline and see if you can throw some money down on who's going to be the number one pick. You can also check out the Stanley Cup playoffs. Stanley Cup's going to be handed out soon. Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, scores. You can get in on MMA, boxing, golf. There's plenty. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Head on over to BetOnline.net today. You can use your laptop. You can use your mobile device. Just head on over, learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Hey, for those of you watching on YouTube, you see my big, bushy Greek sponge beard. That's going away. But as I said in a previous podcast, if you follow me on Twitter at John_Corrales, you will see that I have tweeted out the fundraiser. I'm going to raise money, trying to raise $1,000 for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, specifically Heather Walker, who is a vice president with the Celtics on their media relations side. She's dealing with a brain tumor, glioblastoma, trying to raise $1,000 for her. So basically it works like this. Go to my Twitter, John_Corrales, get that link and donate. Show me that you've donated. If we get to $1,000 by the end of the draft, I will shave my beard into whatever stupid, crazy shape you can imagine. Whatever you pick. And I've gotten suggestions. Take all day Wednesday to send me suggestions. I'll get the most popular ones. I'll put out a poll. And then I will shave for Friday's podcast on YouTube. So if you're not a YouTube watcher, you'll want to watch on Friday. Whatever people vote for my one day only crazy, you want me to just do mutton chops? You want me to do biker mustache? You want me to do whatever? I will do it. I will do a show on Friday with whatever stupid thing you want me to look like. I'll do it. But we've got to raise $1,000 for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute to make it happen. All right. So make it happen. Let's get back to Brad Stevens, who is going to run down what the Celtics specifically need.
You asked me right now what we need. I'd like to have a little bit more scoring, consistent scoring off the bench. And, you know, I think that we have some short-term needs there, but I believe in a couple of the guys that didn't get a chance to play as much that they will continue to improve and be knocking on that door soon. So we have some development opportunities within our own organization, and you know, we'll continue to scour and look at what our opportunities are with our, you know, trade exceptions and the draft and you know, our limited resources and free agency.
Later on, he would also add playmaking as one of his priorities too. A playmaker, somebody who can get the ball and create for himself, create for others, because he wants, basically he and Ime Udoka want that 2016 San Antonio Spurs, beautiful game, basketball, crazy, like the most efficient, gorgeous basketball we've ever seen. Everybody wants to replicate that. Ime wants, he won a championship as an assistant with that. Brad wants to replicate that. Does that mean that Marcus Smart is out as the point guard? No, you can have a playmaker on the wing, just like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They want to add someone else. They just want to add, as he said in the quote you heard in the first segment, the sharing the ball offensively. That's what the Celtics want. That's what the Celtics need. Someone who is going to share the ball. So whoever is out on the floor, the five guys on the floor, have to share the ball. So a bit of scoring right there, consistent scoring off the bench. And then the playmaking, which he did add later in a separate quote that I wrote about on Boston Sports Journal, but I'm not playing here. So that gives you a little glimpse. So we've gotten we're not disrupting the fragility of a team who has an identity. We're going to look for some scoring, consistent scoring off the bench. Also, short-term needs there. So that is an interesting quote there, short-term needs, which means he's going to go and he's going to find somebody for a one-year, two-year deal. And if that person prices himself out of re-signing, then you get to the next guy. Or what he said, we have some development opportunities within our own organization. And so a couple of the guys that didn't get a chance to play as much, I think that means Payne Pritchard. I think that means Aaron Nesmith. It may mean Sam Hauser, but I think it's those two guys in particular. You got to get more. You got to see what those two guys develop into. But as Brad said, continue to scour and look at what our opportunities are with trade exceptions. He mentions the draft and the limited resources in free agency. As I laid out, the Celtics' only free agent money is the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $6.4 million. That's all they have to spend in free agent money. So they'll try to find somebody. Hopefully somebody will take a little bit of a discount with that, but they'll try to find the best player they can, obviously. And maybe because they are a team that just went to the NBA Finals, that increases their odds of getting somebody to choose Boston over somebody else who only has the taxpayer mid-level. So that's a potential advantage there. The draft, I don't think there's anybody in the draft. I think what the Celtics do with the draft is a draft and stash in the second round. If they do anything more aggressive, I'd be surprised, but who knows? This is the NBA. Surprises happen all the time. And it's the traded player exceptions, which the Celtics, Brad did say, he was asked, what limitations basically do you have on spending? What do you have to go ahead? And he said, we have to go ahead to spend what we need to spend to put the team together, which I don't think means spend indiscriminately. I think it means you can use your traded player exception, go for it. You can use that mid-level, go for it. Put a good team out there. I do think that also means, like, within that, hey, if you can save some tax money after you put everything together and you say, hey, we got some leftovers, don't be surprised if they start shaving some of the fat off of the roster too, because if they do find a big out there for $2 million, then Daniel Tice is making $8 million and they can get rid of Tice's $8 million. I think they'll do that. I hope they don't have to pay another draft pick to get off of Tice. It would be so bizarre to pay to get off of Daniel Tice's contract twice. But who knows? Maybe the Celtics will be in a position where that's the case. But anyway, I think the Celtics are – I don't think they're going to be handcuffed. I think they know that they have to spend. They have to spend the tax. They're in the tax anyway. So go put your team together. And then after that, if there's an opportunity that a guy who isn't being used can be, jettisoned for tax savings, then, hey, if you can save us a few bucks that way, that'd be appreciated. I think that's basically going to be the message this year, which is fine. It's totally fine. So we've talked about the big picture where what Brad's not going to do to mess with this team. Consistent bench scoring. Just like I said in yesterday's show, just like I've been writing on Boston Sports Journal, that tracks with what seems to be the Boston's needs. Some sort of playmaker to kind of add to take some of the pressure off of Tatum and Brown, and add another ball mover to the wing. That's going to be something that they're looking for. But then, of course, you have the individual improvements. Brad Stevens referenced that, which we'll talk about next. First, let's talk about Built Bar and Built Bar's Mud Pie. It's an amazing new flavor. And I think Built has truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. It's the first time ever Built is introducing a new flavor in both Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. Basically, if you're a chocolate fan, Mud Pie is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate, topped with cookies and cream crumble. And you're saying, John, isn't this supposed to be a Built Bar? Isn't this supposed to be healthy? Yeah, 150 calories and 8 grams of sugar with 16 grams of protein. That sounds pretty good to me. A delicious Mud Pie flavored bar or puff at 16 grams of protein, 150 calories, and only 8 grams of sugar. That's pretty good. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're delicious. And if you want a good protein bar for after a workout or as a meal replacement or as a healthy snack, this works. It satisfies that sweet tooth, that craving, and it doesn't ruin your diet. So go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order, and it works every single time. Go to built.com, promo code LOCK15. You get 15% off at built.com on these limited edition, limited time only mud pie bars and puffs. You won't regret it. LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Draft night tomorrow, Thursday. So we're not doing just one draft show this year. Every show in the first round is going live on draft night. So 15 minutes after each pick, the host of that show, that team show, will go live. So you want to go and check out the Magic after their first overall pick? Go to the Locked On Magic page on YouTube for immediate reaction from the local expert. It's only the Locked On Podcast Network can do something like this. So if you're interested in immediate reaction on the local end, the local expert, go check it out on each team's YouTube page 15 minutes after the pick is in. Go subscribe now so you can figure out when they go live. All right, last quote from Brad Stevens, who addresses the team and its return from the disappointment of the loss to the Warriors, what it takes to get this whole Magic back, and the team adding guys to their games.
Anytime you have a good team, it takes people giving a little, you know, and so then it takes, you know, the hunger that you derive from what we just went through, right? I mean, there should be a bitter taste after a great season, which isn't all bad, because then it, you know, can propel you into, you know, being ready when it all starts next year. And so, again, you know, I think that starting better is important. I think that will be a, you know, an emphasis. I don't think that, you know, anybody is satisfied with where they are. But, you know, as we all go out, as Bobby asked, as we all go out to improve individually, when we come back, we've got to take those individual improvements and our own strengths and add them to the team. And, you know, and I think that that's the challenge with a lot of teams when you start at the start of a new season, is everybody wants to show what they got good at. And so we got to get good at some things, but we've got to be able to do it within the context of winning basketball as a team.
This last bit, I thought, is kind of like a brilliant and overlooked aspect of NBA basketball. Guys want to come back. When they come back, they want to show you what they're good at, which makes total sense. You come back and you say, hey, I've added a three-pointer to my game, or I've added range to my game, or I've added a post play to my game. If Robert Williams goes and works on post moves, he's going to be the first play of the preseason. He's going to go post up, get the ball, and try to show off his post moves and let you know, hey, look what I can do now. That's natural. But this whole concept of, we've got to get good at some things, but be able to do it within the context of getting better at a team as the team. That's super interesting, because guys will go and get better at about certain things and get better at certain things. You come back and you're like, that's great. We don't need that from you. And I think that's more of a role player thing. Like, I'm just going to use Grant Williams just as an example, because he came back with very necessary functional additions to his game. But if he came back with, I don't know, two different post moves, well, you say, okay, we don't really need post moves from you, or whatever, some sort of fancy dribble or whatever you can think of that Grant Williams wouldn't need. If he comes back and says, hey, look at all this stuff I can do, they'll be like, that's awesome. We want you to go stand in the corner and be, you know, can you hit 45%? Did you add to your shooting? Can you improve your shooting? Did you add a sidestep? Did you add a step back? What did you do with your shooting? And so that's just an interesting, I think, element to individual improvement, where guys all go and they have their directives, teams, you know, coaches sit with the guys or call the guys and say, hey, here's our evaluation. Here's our plan. Here's what we'd like you to, you know, work on and all of that. And the guys can go and do it. And if they do it, great. If they don't, that's up to them, really. No coach can force them to do anything. But they've been given, you know, a packet, a plan. And so the guys go and they come back and then you figure out, have you worked on this? Have you gotten better? How much better? What have you really worked on? And I don't blame guys if they come back and say, yeah, I worked on this. I also worked on that. I also did some other stuff. And, you know, because look, this is a job, and some people have like individual goals as well. They want contracts, and maybe they understand like, hey, my contract might not come from the Celtics the next time around. Not every guy has the luxury of saying, I know my next contract is coming from the Celtics. There are guys who say, my next contract could be from anybody. And maybe the Celtics don't value me in a way another team would. That's just a way, that's just how things work in the NBA. You can't, like, you will say, well, where's the loyalty? Or you want to say, hey, you got a good thing going here. Let's keep this going. But, you know, if just as an example, hypothetical, if somebody comes back and adding elements to their game or displaying some new elements to their game gets them $5 million more on their next contract per year, guess what? I kind of don't blame them for wanting to get $5 million more per year. You only got a limited time. This is, and I think this is tough for people to understand. It's one of the concepts. It's hard for just the general fan to understand. You say, hey, player X is making millions of dollars. That's plenty. That's plenty of money. But the player is like, yeah, that's a lot of money, but also I could make more. And give me a few million more and I'll take it, because you only have a limited time to make this kind of money. Like, you work until you're 30 something. If you're lucky, most guys don't even get to that point. You can work until you're 30 something. And then that's all of your real maximum earning potential. So if you can earn $5 more million or $10 more million or $15 more million, go for it. Because when you're retired at 35 or 30 or 40 or whatever it is, you've got theoretically another 40 years of not making that kind of money. And not everybody gets on TV. Not everybody gets a high paying job somewhere else. You could become a coach. And if you're an NBA coach, great. You make a decent amount of money. But hey, Evan Turner, after one season as an assistant in Boston, was like, this is a lot of work for a lot less money than I used to make. And he was just like, I'm out. That, yeah, like, you can make some decent money. Like, for me, if I got hired as a Celtics assistant coach and I got that paycheck, like, damn, oh my God, I hit the lottery. But for a guy who's making multi-million dollars per year, then you get that first assistant paycheck and you're like, okay, that's a game check. That used to be a game check, you know? Or whatever, it's just jarring. So anyway, I don't blame guys for trying to add a lot to their game to increase their earning potential. That's just an element that's part of the NBA. And that's just something you might have to prepare yourself for. The Celtics might have to prepare themselves for the possibility of, oh, okay, this guy's trying too hard or whatever. They'll have to deal with it and address it as it happens. If it happens, it might not happen. But that last bit was what really stood out to me. There's a lot to improve individually for all of these guys. And I think the sting, and Brad mentioned it, I don't think he mentioned it in any of these quotes that I pulled, but within the sting of the loss is the potential for it to work out. And if the Celtics take the sting of that loss and turn it into the fuel that wins multiple championships down the line, then in there, and there's no way to prove this, but it's possible that the Celtics could have won one championship and never gone back. And the sting of this is what drove them to keep going back and could be the thing that says, hey, we understand now that if you don't bring this level of effort every single time, you're going to lose in the finals. And that could be what drives them. Maybe this is what wins them multiple championships down the road. You never know, but it should fuel these guys to go add to their games and do what Brad said, which is do it within the context of getting better as a team. Again, he said a lot more. I wrote about it at Boston Sports Journal. You can go check it out there. I broke down most of his quotes with my reaction. So there's a lot more of that reaction on Boston Sports Journal. That'll do it for this show. Remember to go to my Twitter, John_Corrales. Donate to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the Heather Walker fundraiser to fight glioblastoma. Trying to do something fun with the beard and shave. I'm going to shave the beard off and do the crazy whatever. Let you guys can choose whatever crazy stupid pattern I do one show with on Friday. So you pick it out, but donate to the cause. Trying to use this silly little occasion to do something good. So make sure you send me the receipt. They show me that you've done it. We'll raise $1,000 at least. And I'll look like an idiot for a show on Friday. So if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, you can go and subscribe there. If you are a regular listener, I can describe to you what I'll look like on Friday. I'll do my best to visually kind of show you what people pick. But whatever, we're going to have some fun with it. So make sure you're subscribed to the show. Watch a show on YouTube. Watch me make a fool of myself. And tell your friends to watch too. Tell everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.